Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new episode of Flesh Wound Farce, where we discuss and review your and our favorite comedy films. This is the world's first and only combination trivia host and professional wrestling announcer of Chilean descent that currently resides in Southern California, Ozzy V. And with me, as always, on this program, first in the Northern California Bay Area, is Craig. How you doing, Greg?
Hey, man. Still digging the Outriders. Things are great, man.
Yeah.
So it's been quite a lot of time on that thing. So I just, it's been a blur.
It's pretty sweet. It's pretty great. It's a great game.
How are you doing, Ozzy?
Oh, I'm great. I'm rocking the Outriders too. However, it's tough because the Outriders demo actually got me back into Overwatch. So now I need to juggle the two. Mm. And I didn't intentionally use the word juggle, since you're a juggler and I want to have that connection. It just happened naturally or organically.
But it is show, our word, but you can use it, Ozzy. We're friends.
Okay, right. Now, one thing that would not happen organically or naturally would be a show of this caliber, because we need a producer, and that is Flesh Wound producer Todd. How you doing, Todd?
I'm good. How about yourself? I don't know. I don't care. Just move on.
I was like, that was a weird answer.
Yeah, it felt wrong. Mm-hmm. It felt wrong.
Mm-hmm. Smell that bullshit from here. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we are continuing our Stoner series by reviewing and discussing Pineapple Express. Before we do so, I found a commercial featuring Danny McBride, who's also a star in the film, in a Call of Duty commercial, sharing the screen with Michael Phelps. Todd, if you would please do the honors.
Boom! This is my pool, sea monkey.
It's my kill.
I mean, it was my grenade that came out of my grenade launch that blew that dude's asshole through his fucking mouth.
I had him.
All I saw was I looked down, and you were just doing that weird warm-up thing with those big old flesh paddles of yours. Hey, don't you fucking look at me like that. Phelps? Okay, I can Phelps face all fucking day long, okay?
You have serious issues.
Yeah, well, I'm not trying to call you out here in the middle of a battle zone. But you don't know how to lose, and that's an issue, man. It's a big issue.
We're on the same team, you know that.
Oh, are we? Are we, Michael? Because to me, when I'm on a team with someone, and someone does something super fucking dope, like blow up a bunch of astronauts, there's usually like a high five, or like a fucking way to go, teammate. And instead, I'm just getting this from you, just a fucking shit face, a face you make when you have to take a fucking shit! That's not teammate talk, Phelps, okay? And if that's how you're gonna treat me, then guess what, man? Maybe I don't want to fucking be your team, okay? So take your pistols and backstroke the fuck out of here. I'm sick of the attitude. You know what? You're lucky that I did not frag your ass. Actually, I wish that I would have. Let everyone on the internet see you lose. People would love that. Hashtag frag Phelps with a PH. It'd be fucking hilarious, man. Shit would go venereal.
I think you mean viral.
No, I mean venereal. Shit is fucking infectious. It's sexual. Can we just focus on the game?
You have no idea what you're doing.
Phelps, I'm not playing. I will blast this grenade right through your fucking nutsack.
All right, so for those listening to the audio version of this program, not really much else. I mean, you have Danny McBride break through a wall, take care of some enemies, and everything you hear, the back and forth between McBride and Phelps, is pretty much what you got. There is nothing extra there except for the Phelps face that was referenced by McBride, but that back and forth banter just cracked me up so much that's something I wanted to share, especially since Danny McBride was a huge part of this film, that being Pineapple Express. Greg?
You know, like I love when companies do this kind of fun stuff. Like, they're definitely laughing at what they do and doing a great job at it. And, Call of Duty, I believe, also had Snoop Dogg commentary on one of their games, so they're just knocking it out of the park of these, like, fun, funny moments.
It's great because they're grabbing the casual gamer, and when you can do entertaining stuff like that, you just want to jump in. Todd, you hate video games.
Just like you do movies. Yeah, I not going to run out by the gamer, but whatever. I thought it was a very funny commercial.
It was entertaining.
Yeah.
The Frag Phelps just really killed
McBride.
With McBride. A
P. Oh, yes.
McBride being McBride, so it's going to be bad.
McBride being McBride. Now, McBride was in this film, Pineapple Express. We did review the unrated version, unrated extended. DVD is out. Todd, you were saying that there's a Blu-ray out there, but it might just include the theatrical cut.
Oh, no. The Blu-ray 100% has both cuts. Okay. There is a 4K out there that includes the 4K disc and the Blu-ray disc. The unrated cut is only on the Blu-ray. The 4K is the theatrical cut. Mm. A lot of times they'd master those in 4K and not the others. It happened with some of the Warner Brothers DC stuff that you can't watch, you know, some Suicide Squad. You can't watch the uncut one on 4K.
Interesting. So, oh, not much of a difference between the two versions. Rated R version with a runtime of 112 minutes. The unrated with a runtime of 117. So 5 minutes.
5 minutes is a good deal in a movie.
Yeah.
No, I'm used to uncut versions that are like a minute longer.
So before when DVDs had those terrible covers, the ones with the flip and those basically cardboard.
I forget, those have a name.
Not well, anyway, but like yeah. Those were like, you could say like first generation DVD cases, I feel is a safe label to call them because they were stupid and you don't see them anymore. They're extinct. But what was also really frustrating in that era of purchasing DVDs or even receiving DVDs is you would get a DVD and it would be a full screen version and be like, why? This is stupid. So now it seems like that frustration no longer exists. Everything's just widescreen now.
Oh, right? No. You have that frustration's flipped because people flipped out about Justice League Zack Snyder's being 4:3.
Okay, hold on. Time out. I was one of those people. Not you. I got over it.
Yeah, but a lot of people are like, it doesn't feel my whole TV. I was like, oh my God. Okay, it's the exact opposite as I used to hear at the video store.
Well, but it was that same kind of frustration. I mean, like, okay. The 4:3 Justice League is one thing. It was recut, whatever. That's still a special thing. But my point is that the same, a similar type of frustration of getting, you know, even renting a DVD from the store or whatever, coming home and realizing it's full screen. You're, God, this is so stupid. Everything should just be widescreen. You know, that should be like the standard. Yeah. That's fair to say, right?
Oh, no, I'm agreeing with you. I'm agreeing with
you. The reason I said that, now I'm not saying that this Pineapple Express is only in full screen. Reason I said that is because now for me personally, when there's an R-rated and an unrated version available, I want to see the unrated as much as I always wanted to see letterboxed versions of everything. So if like I see that I'm starting to see a theatrical version, it's like I had accidentally hit theatrical on this one and I saw the R rating come up and I'm like, just go. It's just like a tick.
There are some exceptions to that rule that sometimes the extra stuff is 40-year-old virgin gets drugged down by that longer cut, but there are a few minor examples of the unrated, but 99.9% of the time I agree with you.
Moving on to the synopsis of the film that I'll be reading on the back, this 2-disc DVD reads, "Ride high on the Pineapple Express Ride high on the Pineapple Express, the outrageously hysterical blockbuster from Judd Apatow, the director and screenwriter of Knocked Up. A lazy stoner, played by Seth Rogen, is the sole witness to a murder by an evil drug lord and a corrupt cop. Marked for death, he runs for his life, dragging his dazed dealer, James Franco, and his supplier, Danny McBride, with him on a hilarious pot-fueled adventure. Directed by David Gordon Green, screenplay by Seth Rogen and Evan Goldberg, same creators of Superbad. Now, what they had meant in one of these making ofs, that's this, by the way, the 2-disc DVDs, tons of extras that I actually didn't have an opportunity to watch everything because they even have raw footage scenes, which is interesting. But
everything got ported over to the Blu-ray, so that's good.
Good to know. But one thing in particular is when Seth Rogen's talking about this and Evan Goldberg's talking about this, they said, when we wrote Superbad, we're like, maybe a studio will eventually make this. It could work. But when they wrote Pineapple Express, they thought for sure, like, it was just a story that, you know, that they had written. Okay, so, well, I mean, there's kind of two things, because Judd Apatow had an idea, like, what if, you know, somebody witnessed a murder because of basically what happens in the movie, but then a lot of the bits was written previously by Seth and Evan, and they thought that this would never get made into a movie. But the whole action aspect of it, because while you had the past two films we watched How High with a runtime of an hour, 33 minutes, and Up in Smoke, I think an hour and 27. This had a runtime nearly 2 hours, but it wasn't like a full on like comedy. It was had that action hybrid, which I'm a huge action guy, so I didn't mind that. Yes, Todd.
I was going to take the breath. Yeah, I did, because it's one of those I wouldn't call a stoner film. It's a film that has stoners, because the runtime's a little bit longer. There's a lot of things that make this more than what I call a stoner film.
The cross joint.
I understand there's marijuana references, but it's more than
I don't mean to say that as in like, because when you say, oh, it's not a stoner comedy, it's a comedy, an action comedy that has stoners in it. Yeah, but at the same time, like, there are still some scenes that are pretty funny.
I think you cannot be a stoner and not smoke weed and just watch this.
You know, it's really funny you say that. When this came out in the theater, I loved it. And at the time, I wasn't a regular smoker.
Is it their fault?
No, it's not.
It's but
technically, you can actually, maybe the correct word I should say is thank my girlfriend at the time. She wasn't a huge fan of the whole weed stuff, but she saw commercials for the movie and she's like, that looks really funny. I want to see that. And I had already seen it before she saw it. And I was like, oh no, it's funny. It's hilarious. It's great. You know? And we had to leave during the Saul apartment scene. Cause that scene admittedly like does take forever. Where he's picking up the weed and they're talking about stuff. She wanted to go. She was done. There was a big thing there.
Good for you.
I enjoyed it. Well, you know, we left our brother's house one time and she says, is it supposed to smell like skunk? And I just could not stop laughing. I was in tears and she actually hit me pretty hard.
I could see why it didn't last, Sazi.
There you go. Now, so this, I enjoy, I mean, like, I love this movie when it came out, but watching it again, I will say, admittedly so, the pacing is kind of off, where it seems slow at points, and then, like, speeds up really quick. It seems slow at points, and it's like a very up and down. It's not really consistent, but
that's how a lot of Apatow stuff is, I've noticed.
Specifically speaking to this one, though, one of the things that they had mentioned is because you had so many things happen during the action scenes. The problem with those action scenes is that they were so expensive that what you saw in between that may have seemed to slow things down was to fill in for content. Right. You know, the scenes that didn't have a lot of action were very low budget because most of the budget was used for all the action scenes you saw, which I mean,
like Ghostbusters, those are expensive these days.
I'm saying that it ties into my favorite scene in line. So I'm just going to jump right into it. And that is you have both Seth Rogen and James Franco's character, Dale Denton and Saul respectively appear at their supplier Red's house. And a fight ensues. That is such a great fight scene, but it's what makes it great is that it's like, yeah, it's silly and it's goofy, but there's a sense of realism to it.
Right.
And of basically seeing three non-athletic guys in a skirmish like that. That's what it would look like. But a line that I caught that I didn't, as many times as I'd seen this movie before, I never heard this line. But in particular, it was where you had Seth Rogen have take the portable phone and he rushes to the bathroom to figure out to do something with it. And this time you have Danny McBride's character, Red, hitting James Franco with the dustbuster, as you mentioned. Brought the devil in my house. That's not the line. But the line is said by James Franco when he says, "Are you on that meth shit again?" That was the first because before I was always laughing during that scene. This was the first time where I, you know, I'm really trying to hear everything. And that meth line really hit me hard and just busted me up. I love that. I mean, I love any scene with Red in this movie.
Right.
All of his lines are gold, but that scene in particular, like, "You messed up my portable phone. Just you gonna break down my, you gonna pay for it?" When he's talking to the door, like, just his own stuff is, man. And I would be remiss if I just didn't mention the line "fish tacos." Sorry I took up too much, but
it's all right. It's all right. So if we're going favorite lines, I'm wondering if we're gonna get a Red trifecta with this, because like you said, his lines were great, but there's a moment where he chickens out of like going in on this mission and he's like, "I want to fuck my wife when she gets out of jail. I'm not going to wake up murdered tomorrow." I lost it when he said, "I'm not going to wake up murdered tomorrow." Like, that is one of the greatest moments from that movie, hands down.
All right. I got three, but I'm not going to use them all up because I'm going to see. I think Ozzy has a couple extras, I'm sure. Mine that had me dying. See, these two are so close. One's a throwaway line when they first smell the weed. I'm gonna do two. Just deal with it, Ozzy. When he smells the weed and he says, "Smells like God's vagina." That line had me dying. Then the other one, another quick throwaway line, when they're it's in the end sequence when they're going like down into the hole, and I can't remember which one says it. I want to say it was Franco. But he's like, "What's down there, Rancor?" And I just lost it. Did you? Okay. And that's it. But I will ask Ozzy, did you catch the Die Hard reference? The deep cut?
The deep cut Die Hard reference.
Mm-hmm. It was in the same scene.
It was in the same.
It's very deep cut. Like,
I don't know.
Greg? Me.
No. Die Hard's not a great movie, so I don't watch it.
You shut your filthy mouth. We're not doing this right now.
He calls him a melon farmer. So if you know anything about Die Hard, in the TV version, melon farmer is a substitute for MF-er.
Oh, man, that is great.
Yeah. You know,
I never watched the TV version of Die Hard, so there you go.
Well, that's why I said it was a deep, deep cut.
You know, this movie had so many great moments, and I wish there's one specific line I could have said from this guy's moment, but Bill Hader in the beginning was awesome. And I love that they like come back to that moment. I don't know if you guys noticed, but that suit, like the submarine scuba suit kind of thing that the guy was wearing in that scene, later on in the final scene where there's the big fight, you could see it up in the background. So it seems like that's the
there's a extended scene from the DVD that features Private Miller, and when the cigarette gets extinguished and he's got to send someone in to light it again, and he freaks out, he looks at him, he's kind of, "Oh man." And in the extended scene he asks, "Holy shit, you have a robot? What's his name?" Clicks back to the scientist, just says, "Zach. You have a robot named Zach? Hey, Zach, one day our species are going to be one and the same." And just man, there's a lot. I mean, there's that So in the beginning, you had Bill Hader smoking this item 9. They're asking questions about it. The scene itself was probably about 2-3 minutes, but the extended scene is like 10. And it's so great to see the amount of, and credit goes to David Gordon Green, who is it David Gordon Green? Did I say David Gordon Green? It sounds made up. I apologize.
No, that's correct.
One of the features has a direct-o-rama reel where it just asks him, or you hear the director off screen asking for different takes, like, say it like you got to take a shit, say it like this, say it like a ballerina. Like, he's just asking for different ways, you know, to hear that. So I think that helped with a lot of stuff that was unearthed there, but it allowed, I think, for a lot of chance to be taken when it came to a lot of these scenes. But one of the other extended scenes was the Chinese thugs in the van listening in to the conversation with Ted. Mm-hmm. You have the character played by Ken Jeong saying something, and the subtitle says, "I have to take a shit." The extended scene of that is you have Ken Jeong and Bobby Lee in the van, and he says that line in Chinese, and Bobby Lee says, "Dude, I told you, I'm not going to talk to you if you don't talk to me in English. We're in America. This is stupid." And Ken's character says something else in Chinese, and the subtitle reads, "You know, I can't speak English. But you speak Chinese, so let's make this easier," whatever. And then, so, you know, there's just kind of a shrug from Bobby Lee's frustrated. and then Ken Jeong's character says, "Suck my balls 2 times, which is what he says at the end of the movie. So that's probably the one extended scene I wish they kept in there, because hearing him say that at the end would be like, what had such a better like landing. But just some other notes on this DVD, on the feature of this DVD. It seems like that they had a lot of extra time apparently on the set, because they filmed these scenes. They have a series of scenes that's labeled Saul's apartment, and one's labeled assassin, one's labeled Justin, one's labeled Mr. Edwards, who's the "Hey people" guy from the creepy, he has no other name. He's the guy wearing the sweater in the high school who's trying to be all cool with the kids. And then it has the character Bubby. So these are 4 scenes that are just sketches of Red and Saul trying to just sell weed. These are just scenes of them selling weed. And Ken Jeong is the assassin, so he just hops into the apartment, no explanation. And they're like, "Oh yeah, we just needed to get high with him." And he's just been like, "Yeah, it wasn't personal, you know," like, it's like they just had extra time. Like, what else do you want to do? We can add it on the DVD or whatever. But the fact that Justin Long only, like, he was not in the film at all, but he was in this feature, and he was also in a feature that was labeled Item 9, which was the actual presentation of, so it was as though, so like, because for example, in the beginning of the movie, you have Bill Hader's character smoking Item 9. They're doing research on it. So the Item 9 feature on the DVD is set as a video presentation as to their findings of people who smoked Item 9. You'd had 3 people being interviewed on how they react, one of them being Justin Long. Again, has no role in the movie, not in the credits at all, but was just here for these scenes. It's really funny to see. And you also had Ken Jeong's character, not as the assassin, but just as a generic character. And you also had the same character that played Mr. Edwards, the weird, creepy, "Hey people" guy.
Yeah.
So if you enjoyed this movie, highly recommend picking up that DVD or the Blu-ray. It has the same content, but definitely worth checking out. Now, despite it being long, I still enjoyed it from start to finish because I like action, but at the same time, the pacing does really stand out. And it doesn't feel like it flows as much as I would like. but I still had fun watching it. So I want to give it a 4.5 just because of my entertainment value. And I do like the story itself, but the only thing I want to take down from it is because of that pacing is the only thing I can't, is the only reason rather I feel I can't give it a perfect score.
Yeah. Definitely not getting it a perfect score, but I think the extras made a lot of for this movie, like, because it added so much more, which is fantastic. The pacing was an issue, but it was very, very, very funny. So I was teetering between like a 4 and a 4.5. And since I'm in between the two, I think I'm going to go for a 4.20. I think that'll be a good score.
Well, for the record, that is our first 4.20 on Flesh Food Anything.
Well, there you go.
I agree with the pacing. I think they should have stuck to the stoner comedy rule and kept it at under. Okay, comedy rule, you're supposed to keep it around 90. Stoner comedy, under 90. Either one of those would have been, I think it would have solved those pacing issues. Mm-hmm. But they are funny bits, so I get why we're running long. And like I mentioned earlier, the Apatow stuff tends to run longer. And for anyone else who listens to the other shows, I'm just saying it so you're not thinking I'm glossing over it. Yes, this is from the director of Halloween 2019, David Gordon Green, and also the co-writer of Halloween, Danny McBride, and also this year's upcoming Halloween Kills this October. So there, I said it, and I gave the movie a 4.
All right. Well, there you go. Now, I did want to say, I don't know if maybe this should be an apology, but usually when I have the commentary available to me, I'll watch it. This was a very tough follow on the commentary because it opens up. And it opens up, you hear Seth Rogen, Judd Apatow, Ed Begley, James Franco, Danny McBride, David Gordon Green, and Evan Goldberg. Six people right there, right? And then Ed Begley leaves, and then Rosie Perez and Craig Robinson come on. So then you have seven people there. And it's really hard to tell, like, obviously, you know, which one Seth Rogen is, like, he has a very distinct voice, but sometimes somebody's talking, you're like, who, what's going on? And the reason I had to stop is because, not because of the person, I personally don't know producer. I can't find her name here. Shauna Robertson. That's who it was. Shauna Robertson, I have nothing against her. But if somebody wants to phone call into a commentary.
Phone it in, huh?
Well, I don't mean to say use the term phone it in. But
I was saying like on a 500th episode or something, you know what I mean?
Oh, stop it. But anyway. It got to a point when the Saul and Dale first get to the woods. All of a sudden in the commentary, you hear someone as though they're calling on their phone. Oh, it's producer Shauna Robinson. Hey, what you guys watching? Like, oh, we're not gonna do this shit. Sorry, I'm out. I can't.
That's when, like, you had stopped.
If it was like two people and somebody called in, okay, but we're already like at seven people and you're adding in like somebody else, it's like, I can't, like, I'm losing my mind. I can't. This is too much for me. So I apologize that I couldn't get through that commentary, but to be honest, not a whole lot of information that they were really, I mean, with all the, I mean, it just sounded like they were just commenting on stuff. It sounded like a party there. It's just, they're just commenting on stuff there that was right in front of them. And that was that. A line was dropped that this is the most expensive weed movie, but the cheapest action movie ever made. That was a funny line.
That's funny, yeah.
That's at least a takeaway from the commentary.
All right.
We all gave it the rating, and that would conclude this week's episode. And that was Pineapple Express. Definitely recommended, judging by the high scores. And next week, we will be back with a new episode. We're going to be watching the finale of our Stoner series. Series, and that is Half Baked. starring Dave Chappelle, Jim Brewer, and Harlan Williams. Looking so forward to that. And until then, that is Flesh Wound producer Todd. That's Greg. And I'm Ozzy V. And we'll see you next week right here on Flesh Wound Farce.